younger, more radical people will just like have this attitude where they're like, no, it's all or nothing. Like, why is this person not like on board with every single thing that I'm saying? Like this content creator, why are they not like fully on board? They expect everyone to be like me.
Well, I get people try to drag me in my YouTube comments because they're like, why does Caleb not talk about stuff in episodes? And I'm like, number one, I talk about it elsewhere. And number two, we bank our episodes 3 months ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't talk about current events in my podcast, even if I would like to. And number three, I think it's a better approach to put sneak the medicine in a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm being funny and then just sneaking some shit in every once in a while. Then on Instagram, I'm being myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And also people forgot you know, no matter how radical someone's politics are, that's usually not their entire output.
He's recording.
That's not how it used to be. Are you recording already?
Yeah, he's recording, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's not how it used to be back in the day. And I think it's fine. It's fine to have it be like that. It's most you need to be able to establish likability to a broad audience as a mainstream celebrity. And then you're also, I think you should be nicer to some people. You know what I mean?
Also, when you, that's part of the problem, not the problem. I love the heart of the idea, but part of what we need to work on the left, as somebody who's in Missouri a lot and grew up around a lot of people who we actually maybe could get as voters and supporters of our causes, is we need to get better at shooting the shit and being regular. Our issue, we don't need everyone to get on board with super minute policy details necessarily. And that's not to say that we speak down to people or anything, but you talk about regular life, you'd be able to talk about and relate to people about things that are normal. And then after you've built a relationship and there's some trust, you can say hey, I think it's kind of fucked up that family farms are getting run out of business in Missouri because the centrist Republicans are making big cozy deals with the factory farms. That's the kind of thing you don't just run at people and tell them how to feel.
Yes.
You make a friendship and then you start to talk about things. You figure out, this is organizing though, you figure out what actually affects people's lives in an organic way. And then you say, tailor fit, hey, this is actually how this might matter to you. Mm. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. We need to get better at that.
It's exactly what I've also, in my own way, tried to do in the space that I occupy. That's why I cover a broad variety of different issues. I think it's gotten worse as of late, though, because the issues have gotten so so damaging that I do primarily do news coverage and you know, advocacy work and things like that now. But that's how I started off. I would do dating shows and things like that, and then. Not talk about politics.
That's what I hosted.
Not talk about politics. And then on my stream, I would talk about politics and do news coverage.
That's right. You did do a lot of those.
Yeah. I don't do it as much anymore. I think it was Israel for the most part that just kind of cooked my my collaborations because post October 7th, it was just
I've been trying to get him on a dating show ever since. Israel has no effect over our ability to do shows together.
You don't care. He's
blaming Israel, but I've been trying to get him. I had this show called In the Tub where I interview people awkwardly in a bathtub. And he won't do it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I was talking about collaborations with other people.
BB got the taste on the pitch. I've had so many people do it.
In the tub with BB.
Yeah, he's on the list, but he won't do it. He won't do it. He won't sit with me in a bathtub.
I wouldn't either. Why not?
It.
That just doesn't sound fun.
It's a blast.
Yeah, you're shredded, Austin.
I am not shredded, first of all.
You are. You got the body of Adonis. I am fat. Well,
hold on.
Fatter.
Yeah, see?
Everyone be very careful.
I caught myself.
Relax.
I am not at the shape that I would like to be in.
He's been doing this for months, Caleb.
Okay, I grew up fat. So that's always in the back of my...
When was the last time you were fat?
I went back to being fat 2-3 years ago, post-COVID, peak COVID.
Right. I think you were a little chubby based on what I
remember. No, I got up to 280. I was definitely...
I didn't realize
you were chubby.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you're a tall guy with a muscular build and you were chubby.
I was 280 pounds and I couldn't stand up straight for 15 minutes.
What?
I would literally lose my breath. Yes.
You might have something different than weight going on.
No, because during COVID in 2020, I was literally sitting.
Oh, yeah, long COVID.
Yeah, I was sitting and in front of the camera for 42% of the entire year. So after that, my muscles all atrophied. Yeah. I was just fat. I was just 280 pounds.
Well, I've been fat my whole life, and I can stand for more than 15 minutes and breathe. You might have COPD.
I'm fine now. I worked through it. But that was definitely an issue.
But anyway, for a little bit. You're not fat. But I would love you. You, by the way, you were handsome chubby and you're handsome now.
That's what I'm saying. Well,
thank you. And I'm glad you can breathe and stand up. That's all beautiful.
I tell him, I say, your body looks fantastic.
Yeah. You want me in the fucking tub. That's why.
It has nothing to do with that.
You want me in the tub. You only compliment me, bro, because you want me in the tub.
It's true. I mean,
did you guys see the Mike Tyson bathroom. Super Bowl commercial?
No.
It was fucking awesome. The food one, the real food one.
He's like, I was 347 pounds. I was eating a pint of ice cream every hour.
Yeah. Yeah. I did see that.
It was fucking awesome.
Dude, isn't it fucking awesome that the FDA and the real food shit is just basically making the treats taste better? Like, they have no investment whatsoever in actually making people healthy.
Here we go.
Oh my God, awesome. This rocks. This is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, this is my favorite commercial.
My sister's name was Denise. She died of obesity at 25. She had a heart attack. I was so fat and nasty. I would eat anything. I was like 345 pounds. A quart of ice cream every hour. I had so much self-hate when I was like that. I wanted to kill myself.
I was so fat, I wanted to kill myself.
We're the most powerful country in the world, and we have the most obese, fudgy people. Something has to be done about processed food in this country.
Wow. So powerful.
Maha Center Inc.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? It is so high camp to me to say I was so fat I wanted to kill myself.
I think it's an awesome
single tier. Single tier.
Also fudgy people.
Also kill yourself. Okay, do it. Yeah. I don't know. If it's so bad being 347 pounds, go do it.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? Go nuts.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
Yeah. His offense is impregnable. His defense is insupituous.
He's also the perfect MAGA figure, I think. Like, yeah. He is meeting the moment.
Totally. Well,
he's replacing Hulk Hogan. You know what I mean? He's like constantly cutting a promo whenever he speaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's also the right needs celebrities so bad. They're so hard up that they're having to embrace people like Rob Schneider. And it's like, yeah, you guys are in a pretty tough
Schneider.
Place.
Yeah.
And Mike Tyson and Rob Schneider, you guys
Rob
are Kid Rock.
Schneider's
it was
MAGA?
Remember
oh my God,
in the
so
beginning.
Bad.
No, yeah. That's crazy.
The beginning of the election, when there was like a month of people being like, "This is the new norm now. Like the right is going to dominate culture," and I was just like, I was sitting there thinking like, "No, they're not, because they have no cultural output. They have no products whatsoever that are like." That aren't just like forced upon people.
Yeah, they have Kid Rock.
No, it's Kid Rock and Adam Sandler's Make-A-Wish friend. It's not going well.
The Turning Point halftime show.
Yeah.
Did you watch that?
No, I did not.
Oh, I fucking sat there
my
and
God.
I watched it.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Was it? Was there pyrotechnics?
No, it was so bad. Like, it was awesome because it was so bad.
Yeah.
It was
so bad. You didn't see the Lee Bryce, the guy with the singing. He said, I just want to catch my fish, drink my beer.
No, but that's awesome.
Yeah.
And the thing is, here's what I'll tell you right now. Here's what I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
I would probably fucking like that song earnestly.
Are you a country music
fan? I'm a country music fan.
Oh,
and so
God.
You can make fun of me, but I would probably like that song. I know.
No, I love country music too.
How can you stand
my boy.
For progress?
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
And like, listen to such like, trash
no,
music.
No, no, no. Country. There's good country music.
Yeah, country music used
like
to
old
be.
Country?
Old country?
Like
women
90s?
In country?
Yes.
The women in country revolution of the 90s?
I love Dolly Parton.
But even before, yes. Dolly?
Yes.
Bonnie Raitt?
Yes, Bonnie Raitt. Oh,
come on. Country music's good, brother. Where are you from?
Oh, I've heard
me
oh
originally
God.
New York.
New York State?
Yeah.
Like upstate?
Long Island.
Okay, see, so that makes sense. I understand there are pockets of the country where country music has not permeated, but there is some good country music, and even
what
some
about
of the bad
modern
stuff.
Modern country music, because it all
not
sounds
as much for
trash.
Me.
Not as much, but I will say when.
Zach Bryan?
Zach Bryan?
Oh, what, no.
There has been some good stuff, like even Brad Paisley in the early 2000s was doing some campy stuff that was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I unironically listen to country music. I fucking love it. I got an opportunity to interview Reba on the red carpet at the Grammys, and I fucking lost my mind.
Icon.
Yeah, icon. I was like, oh my God. And I've gone, I like, you know, even a little Joe Diffie.
Yeah.
I like the
Mark
racist,
Chestnut.
I like
you like
the
Mark Chestnut?
Shit.
Come on. You like the what? Like
the racist shit, like post 9/11, where it's like, we're going to kill all the Muhammad.
My dad is a booty.
Yeah. I love that shit.
You know what? I will say, I obviously have political problems with that stuff. But growing
I
up,
I agree with it.
There, you love it, and I know that about you.
Yeah.
There was something about it. No. I will say it was in the water in Missouri. No. That was part of the turn.
Yeah,
that was part of the turn.
Yeah, I mean, I still kind of, you know, I don't obviously agree with the message anymore. But at the time. At the time, it gave me chills.
Yeah.
Tell Uncle Sam.
It was a great song.
At the top of his list.
And
yeah.
The Statue of Liberty
started shaking her fist. It feels good.
Yeah, it does.
It feels, I don't like America flying, right? Like that, but like, it does feel good.
For me, like watching
that. Just
that,
never
like, that's my first foray. That's my first foray into country music, like it, living in Turkey. And I'm like, oh, they're talking about people like me.
Yeah. That had to be hard.
I think my problem is, like, I you know, sometimes film doesn't need to make you feel good, and I guess sometimes music doesn't need to sound good.
No, music, but country music sounds
good. Country music sounds terrible.
No, it does sound good.
Sorry. It all sounds good. A cacophony of trash.
No. Listen to Drinking Bone by Tracy Byrd and tell me you don't tap your fucking foot.
No, it's so good.
Like Pete Seeger, like OG folk and like OG country that was like... very much about, like, you know, killing your boss at the work site. Like, that shit was dope.
If a cop comes to my property, I'll shoot him. Was the kind of stuff they were singing about?
Yeah. And now it's all about, like, being divorced and drunk driving and, you know, and hating minorities.
I want to say, here's what I want to say to you. You are talking about, there is older country music that has a great politics and that sounds very good.
Yeah.
I agree with you about that. Mm. And then there is new country music that has a horrible politics and sounds like mass-produced commercial, and I still like listening.
Yeah. So you like the country rap too? Like when they
that's where they lost me.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't want to know about Jelly Roll in any circumstance.
Yeah. So you're purist. You're like, yeah, no, none of that rap shit.
No, like you like
get out of here.
No, I don't want to see a white guy from Kentucky rapping. Yeah, you caught me. Yeah, I'm safe
Trace
on that.
Adkins? I like that one hot mama.
Yeah. Honky tonk, but donkey donk. That shit.
Yeah, it
bangs.
That song makes me want to kill myself.
Are you kidding me?
I think honky tonk,
donkey donk. I see your girl, but love to watch her leave. It's such a beautiful lyric.
I think it could be
it takes
used.
Everyone.
It does.
You're going to need us.
If I was put in a stress position, I think, and forced to listen to that song, I think I would give up any secret.
I think. Also, the lyrics are so easy to remember. I'm terrible with lyrics in country music. I can sing every song.
Right, because it's nothing that a normal human being would ever say.
It's fast food. It feels good sometimes.
I'm so happy that another gay man enjoys country music like I do.
Yeah.
You know, the gay Flaming Saddles didn't even fucking survive in West Hollywood. They closed it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, they couldn't do it. Nobody likes country music around here. It's only me. Yeah. I'm alone.
You don't even live here, do you?
Yeah, I lived here over the summer.
No.
I lived here over the summer for a brief few months.
So the answer, no.
But I'm here every weekend.
As 8 years Boys Town native.
Thank you.
We don't do country music.
But what is your impression of Los Angeles? Because I feel like
is my impression of Los Angeles?
Yeah. What's your impression of it? What do you think of LA?
I think it's a beautiful city. I had a lot of fun living here. Oh no, that's not true. I had almost no fun living here. It's a beautiful city. I ate a lot of great food living here. Mm. I like many of the people I met here. Fundamentally, I think between the cars and the like morning fitness culture, there is a problem where people do 0 to 1 things a night.
Yes.
And I prefer at this point in my life to live somewhere where people are open to the idea of doing 2+ things an evening.
Yes.
That's where I'm at with LA right now.
I have a dream of living in New York City.
You would evaporate.
Well, because this fucking
you wouldn't last 10 minutes.
Why is that?
You're in the Sahara.
No,
I would
because love
to get
rid of my car. Because
you're a creature of comfort.
Yes.
And you could not do the subway.
Are you kidding me?
You could not.
I've done the subway. I'm there on the
subway. Yeah, as a tourist. As someone who's like, oh, this is fun. Look at my card. I'm going on the L.
That is not how
you
I react
could not
when I'm
do
on the
that
subway.
For 3 months when
ass.
You had to make eye contact with an unhomed man jerking off, you would evaporate.
I think he would like that, actually.
You live in the suburbs.
You live in Portland, Oregon. Okay?
Austin, when you stayed in my house.
Get him.
And you heard fireworks and then police sirens. They were gunshots. And then he heard police sirens and he panicked. He's like, what's going on? Yeah. What's going on? Why are there police sirens? And I realized at that moment it hit me because he lives in the suburbs. If he hears cop cars in the suburbs,
something
is probably happening.
Yeah.
Whereas like you hear that here all the fucking
time.
But
this man needs to panic a little bit more. Because I've been around him when they were at like a fucking car hit the side of a building that we were in.
And he was just like, oh, what?
And I thought it was an attack.
Yeah.
Immediately.
I will say the
funniest. To be fair, it was a fundraiser for for Palestine.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, we're under siege.
Yeah.
I thought immediately.
And
that's
a
what
car did go through this like warehouse that we were doing some like sort of DIY event center place there and the car did go through the warehouse.
As someone who loves you.
Yeah.
You are a visit New York person.
Really?
You are not a live in New York person.
I do love that your argument for why you couldn't live in New York was pragmatic. You're like, well, the show. And it's like, baby, you live in Portland.
Okay.
Like, you're not doing the pragmatic thing.
I'm about to read you to filth.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Okay.
What were your requirements for your home in Los Angeles?
You didn't quite read him to filth
no,
yet.
No, listen. Okay. Just listen. Wait till the answer.
Well,
what did you tell me about an apartment? What did you need in your place in Los Angeles?
Caleb, I want to first of all set the stage.
Yeah.
I live in a house in Portland.
Answer him.
It's large.
Spit it out.
I wanted a lot of space. I have two cats. They need
what was your requirement?
Answer I him. Wanted a bathtub, a floating one, and...
You wanted a fireplace in your bedroom.
Well, no, I don't think that that's an unreasonable request.
I don't think it's the... You made a classic mistake. You announced your own before you owned.
Right.
And that, so I was expecting something dastardly, and it didn't quite land. That having been said, you are not cut out for a hard life.
Okay.
No.
I can own that. I don't do camping.
Right.
I glamp.
Right.
But are you... Do you like... You don't like...
We're not talking about me right
okay.
now.
Okay.
I'm not camping. Don't leave out of this.
Okay, so in LA, I wanted a house that was at least 2,500 square feet.
That's
with my boyfriend.
Pretty
and
big
I,
house for right? two guys and
I
two want, cats.
I wanted a nice hot tub and pool because if I'm in LA, why not? Right? And then
you got it.
But the thing is like if I'm gonna live in Los Angeles and live in this place, like the day to day life here, I find to be pretty miserable. I was like, I want to have some nice things.
What I want to say is the nice thing about this podcast that I'm learning on the fly. I've never heard an episode before today, sure. as you know, is. You don't actually have to own Austin because if you give him simply any amount of time to talk, he will do it for you. Yeah. He will do it for you. You tried to get him on the fireplace and he was like, actually, I need 2,500 square feet for hot tub. It's like, okay, so you will get there for the team.
But the thing is in New York, I think I could accept a smaller apartment.
No. Well, maybe you would.
With a view.
Yeah.
With a view. Okay.
You have no choice. You have no choice but to accept that.
With a view. And I think I'd be very happy using public transportation. And doing the day-to-day New Yorker things.
Anything that's
didn't
coming
you just
out?
Force some twink from Florida to move to Portland? What is this dream of New York that you have?
Yeah. It's because the reason why I can't is because the podcast is here. And I do live in Portland, but I fly in every week.
I would move to New York.
No, there is a period of time we're moving to New York. We've already decided. I'm not staying for the Olympics in Los Angeles. I'm not. Doing that.
Yeah.
So I'll be back in New York during that period of time.
We can go to New York. We'll go to
I'm looking forward to your guys' New York era.
Yeah, please. And Hassan can buy us all a brownstone.
We'll have some fun.
And we'll just, you know what I mean? I'm just thinking,
you're not getting a brownstone. You're not getting a brownstone.
$12 million?
I mean, come on. He could throw, come on. You know what I mean?
I can't. I don't know why you think I can.
I think he's very capable financially. I think he's extremely capable financially.
My house has been talked about endlessly as though it's like this Omega mansion.
Yeah.
It's not that nice.
Yeah.
Okay. It's nice. It's nice.
I've actually been talking about this for a long time. I came in here and I think that people are being a little dramatic for the level of luxury that he lives in because like there are broken lights in the bathroom, handles falling off the doors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We just took a break. I went to use the bathroom and he told me, oh, don't touch those switches. Those lights don't work.
Yeah, they don't.
I'm sure we have light fixing money.
I think it's giving very much very modern contemporary, but like from 10 years ago, it needs an upgrade.
Yeah.
I don't like the colors of the floors. I think the acrylic cabinets are way overdone.
Right. Okay. Mind you, you live in a whole other
city. Your home is millennial gray. Shut up.
It was Austin.
A sign of the times.
His home is millennial gray through
sign
and
through.
Sign
of the times, Caleb.
This whole time I was willing to be an ally with you, and you're doing one of the most dastardly things.
Yes. I know. But Caleb,
at least my house has character.
You have to understand, it was a sign of the times, and it took so many years to build that by the time it was finished, it was already out of style.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you always on this show escape criticism entirely?
Ooh. Me?
Yeah, because I can feel myself wanting to go after these other two, but I'm like, what's you're just the cute necklace and eating the little snacks. I feel that you fly under the radar.
Yes.
I'm just the everyman.
I'm just wondering. So does it ever turn on you, or do you get out of it?
Oh no, it all. Okay, it turns on me frequently.
Yeah, nice. Sometimes. Not, as long as it never turns on me.
Yeah.
Well, it's mostly on me.
I can feel that
because it's all the straight people against the homosexual.
No. No. Because you love it in Beggar, first of all. Dude, you like it.
Everything he does has to be like a civil rights struggle.
Yeah.
Well, I am an advocate for the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
Not a good one.
No, I am. I actually, well, in fact, I wanted to speak on this.
Oh, true.
I have a show so I'm a Twitch streamer, really, by trade. That's what I did, and that's how we're all Twitch streamers. That's how we got together here and do this podcast. Why are you laughing?
By trade is such like a blue collar. I do roofing by trade.
Well, it's simple work, but it's honest. streaming.
I'm an internet celebrity by trade.
I do 2 hours of content a week.
But anyway,
it's pretty hard.
I have this show called Drag to Brunch.
Okay.
And what I do is I take communities and other streamers, and I basically, the concept of the show is I kidnap them, but I don't. Obviously, they know about it.
Right,
and I pick them up on a party bus, and I've got drag queens and a bunch of gay friends, and I take a community to a drag brunch, a community that hasn't really been exposed to a lot of LGBTQ culture.
Yeah.
And this weekend, I did it with Hassan, but his community is gay as fuck. Like, there's like, I think, what is it? 43% of your community identifies as LGBTQ, right?
Something like that. Yeah.
Really high percentage.
Like 14% is trans.
Yeah. 14% is trans. So I do this show
That's
called
13 times higher than like the national average.
Yeah.
So there's this show called, I do the show in Miami with this creator named Your Rage. And Your Rage has a community that is like, he himself is like a very open person.
Okay.
And he's not hateful towards the gay community, but I'm trying to tell people, you don't have to be, you can be homophobic and not be hateful. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so what I did was I took this community.
Yeah,
that,
but
like,
he's telling him you can be homophobic.
No. But I went in to this community and Rage was like, this Rage was like very open to doing this. He took me to his neighborhood where he grew up.
Uh-huh.
And then the next day I took him to drag brunch. And like, this is a community that has been very,
the thing that he is omitting to tell you, Your Rage is a black creator who is from inner city Florida originally, and Rage took him to that area. So they were doing like a culture swap of like,
yeah,
I'm going to take you to the hood. You take me to the gay bar.
Yeah. So I took him to the gay bar.
Sure.
And the reception that we got,
yeah,
of course the internet blew up and there was a lot of homophobes, but his community accepted me as a gay man. And they loved the experience. They were like, this is the fucking awesome. He had a great time. He's like, at the end of it, he's like, that 10 out of 10, I was kind of nervous going into it. But at the end of it, I was like, these gays are having so much fun. Like, you guys have a blast. Like, I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. At the end of the day, they're just having a good time. And genuinely, I feel as if it was one of the most impactful things I've done in my career to date. And having the opportunity to show a community that, you know, hey, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah.
We can exist in these environments together.
I talked to you about it already. I was a Your Rage fan, but also the way that Your Rage reacted to the pressure where he was like, fuck you guys, I had a great time. I am now a Your Rage stan,
and
bro.
There's a lot of chatter. There's a lot of people that watch Your Rage that are, you know, they're really, they're kind of in the margins where they could go homophobic really easily to fit in.
Sure.
And and you know, I got to give props to Your Rage for opening himself up to a lot of hate, because he got a lot of hate for it, and having the courage to go into that environment with me. So
I have to say, hearing you guys or anybody talk about like streaming, I know so little about it that it sounds like a Mad Lib designed to confuse me.
Yeah.
You're like, well, of course I was streaming with the Your Rage community. Yeah. And I took him. I'm like, every new word is like a thing I have to like do math about.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, clavicular. Are you familiar with this creature?
So I've began to hear this word.
Yeah.
And I've come to understand that it refers to a person.
Yes.
I don't know who that is. And I'm actually, I'm pretty logged off for the most part. I do my Instagram stories, but I'm not on TikTok. I'm at a point where I no longer want to learn about these people at all. And it's nothing, no shade. I'm sure this is a lovely person, maybe.
He's not.
Okay, I don't want to know about these people. There are people that have 20 million followers that I was never supposed to know about.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that's this person's situation.
You're keeping it old school where you're like, I don't need to know everything that's going on. Like,
I don't need to know everything that's going on. And in fact, I refuse. And it's an affront to me when I have to learn a new name.
Okay. I agree. I tune these people out. I kind of know he's a shitbag, but I don't really dive any deeper.
Well, it's an interesting phenomenon because, like,
what is he?
He is a
looks maxing guru.
Yeah, lifestyle
I'm so
influencer.
Pissed off immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so immediately pissed off.
Oh, let me tell you about looks maxing. Now that you
well, you're frequently gesture maxing.
Yeah. What the fuck does that mean?
I'm gesture maxing?
Yeah.
What is
everyone
that?
Everyone tread very lightly.
Gesture maxing is this. Gesture maxing. It was
when you're fun loving.
Was for me like kind of the line of demarcation where I was like, I don't even know if we can reach this community ever, because it was basically like at one point Clavicular was laughing and telling jokes at a nightclub.
That's the beautiful part about this entire process is like he's just a very deeply autistic 20-year-old boy who has ruined his life through steroid abuse. He's infertile. At the age of 19, he became infertile.
What the fuck?
How do we know this about
him? Oh, he explains his process.
How do you know? And how does he know
became,
he's infertile?
He became famous because he explained it. He revealed this information about himself. He talks about it all the time. He does meth for gaunt cheekbones. For appetite suppression. He does steroids, he does TRT, he does Anavar, he does peptides, he takes, what is it called? Like the beta blockers for his high blood pressure due to all the steroid abuse. Right. And he's very open
and
about
he's 20.
It. The craziest thing is he used to do this thing called, and he still does, this thing called bone smashing. A process in which you take a hammer and chip away at your skull bone to dramatically, alter the way it looks and reconstruct it, basically.
Right.
And he now has a.
Just see you being like, you didn't need to know this.
Yeah, he now has a legion of young
you
boys.
Walk around with that.
He also participated in the Heil Hitler thing that happened. I don't know if you saw that.
He's a Nazi.
A lot of these guys are.
I mean, it just like every fucking word is worse and worse.
Yeah. I know.
So
he participated in the Heil Hitler challenge. What the fuck are we talking about?
What the fuck was the Heil Hitler challenge?
So no, they went to a nightclub and they put on Kanye's Heil Hitler
song.
And
when we say they, remember it's Sneeko. Do you know Sneeko?
No.
Okay, Sneeko.
You don't have to do this, Haitian Filipino Muslim convert
who is also a Holocaust denier. Nicholas Fuentes, who is in the closet gay man and Mexican, but also the leader of the white supremacist movement as it stands currently. Andrew Tate, who is also who's also black.
You know him, man.
Andrew Tate's black?
Andrew Tate's dad is like a famous like semi-famous black grand chess master.
I know that.
Yeah.
What's so interesting to me is why is there so much diversity amongst all these?
It's the most diverse group of people.
It's the grift that works. Yeah.
Myron Gaines, who is, I believe, Sudanese, if I'm not mistaken, who also is a Holocaust denier himself. Andrew Tate has denied the Holocaust as well.
Why are you telling me this, dude? I don't want to know this shit.
I
live such a blissful life.
We have such sights to show you.
I'm in the chair, and you guys are snapping the fucking TV set on. I don't want to know about these fucking freaks.
You thought it was going to be bad when we were doing the porn review.
I hate these guys. Yeah, let's watch Kung Fu Porn. God, I fucking hate knowing
but
this
basically
is so bad.
They went to a nightclub in Miami, and they got the DJ
He's
to play the Heil
out.
Hitler
He's
song.
Tapping out.
Wrap it up.
Why are we telling him this?
It's pure reactionary.
Look at what you've done.
It's reactionary performance
Caleb
art.
Caleb had a good was having
don't
a good
call
day.
It performance art, dude. Come on, don't call it performance art.
It's not.
Why do you guys know all this? Genuine question.
He's online.
This is my job
all the time.
But it doesn't. Does it have to be to this level? Didn't you kind of make it? I mean, can we relax it a little bit?
No, I don't. I'm not in as deep as he is.
There's an infertile 20-year-old Nazi that you have to know his skincare routine. I just can't imagine this is necessary.
Well, the New York Times found it necessary because Joe Bernstein went to
Who?
Joe Bernstein is a New York Times journalist.
Okay,
he went to Arizona where Clavicular got frame mugged by the ASU.
Stop! Why are you saying these things? Stop! Please.
That part is actually fun.
Oh,
at least that
apothecary,
part is fun.
Your poison
but anyway,
works quick.
All I'm gonna say is there's a whole style piece on him now, like a massive
on the
style.
ASU frat leader or the
no,
Clavicular.
On Clavicular.
Oh my God!
Was a style piece?
Wasn't
on
he,
it?
Yes, wasn't New York he at the New York?
You want to pull it
wasn't
up?
Wasn't he at Fashion Week or
please
something?
Please don't pull it up.
And then he, and then he
for did, my edit, please.
And then he did New York Fashion Week.
Why the fuck did they invite him to New York Fashion Week?
Because the one designer that invited him invited all of like the. Do you remember the Dime Square people?
I heard about like, it.
Yeah, the Dime Square people with like zero cultural output, backed by Peter Thiel. They're all reactionary, but they're like, you know. They're anti-woke, but they're like gay and trans and they're super reactionary.
Let's talk. I don't want to talk about Nazis.
Caleb is taking psychic damage.
I feel so upset right now. I don't
this
like
is my life. This is like I.
It doesn't
I,
have
it doesn't
to be.
Need to be.
It doesn't no, have it to does. Be.
There's at least five layers of this that you could have not gone yes. down and still done a very good job at what you do.
Yes.
I hate.
I need to know where the people
no.
are.
I don't think the people are here. No. How many people... I really am distressed right now. I feel like I've been put through torture. Mm-hmm. I really feel like you're doing that. What's that thing where they kill you with 1,000 small cuts?
Mm. Death by 1,000 cuts.
Thank you. Yeah, okay. Thank you. I knew there was a more official term for it. I feel that I'm being killed so slowly. I hate knowing this. We have to, something has to happen. There has to be an off the phone wokeness revolution immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't know about Clavicure. I hate knowing about him. I want to cry. Like, yeah. I hate that you know all that, Hassan. It makes me really stressed out for
yes.
you.
Yes. Yes.
This is my bread and butter.
I'm glad that he is saying what I say to you all the time.
I refuse.
That you can just, you can walk away at a certain point.
No, I like knowing.
No!
I'm a freak. Dude. I like knowing, and I need to know ahead of time, because what is like bubbling up on what we consider to be the sidelines ends up becoming mainstream culture. Big
no,
part of this
is never going to become mainstream culture.
It already has in many ways. It already has
in many ways. Like,
TikTok,
Twitter's not a real place.
No, not Twitter. TikTok has streamlined a lot of the stuff that was in the darkest corners of the internet. These like forums where incels used to congregate. And have taken that language and have mainstreamed it.
You know what? I have to say, I'm not to depress you any further, but I was in Florida with Your Rage. And we were IRL streaming where we're out in public or whatever. And we had a camera. And these teenage girls came up to us. And they're like, who are you streaming? What are you streaming? Do you know Clavicular? And I went, oh, no.
Yeah. Like a lot of the youth
like
is super tapped
girls,
into this
they're
shit.
They're just so tapped in. And they don't even see anything wrong with it. Now, maybe to give you a little hope, it was Florida.
No.
That gave me some amount of... I just really do. I live a blessed... blissful life where I don't know about this stuff, and I hate that you guys do.
No, the youth is extremely online, and they are getting their notes from some of the worst scumbags you've ever encountered in your life, and they are what I like to call as vice signaling. Like, this is what the reactionary movement has turned into, which is like being a bad person deliberately, like the worst version of yourself on purpose,
right,
is now seen as like virtuous, and that's precisely what these guys are doing. Like, it's like fuck up
shit.
Your body. Give yourself an eating disorder, even on the aesthetic side. Like, this is what it's become. And
well, that's
the
really
the
nice thing is that
in.
A lot of the left and right, one thing they can really come together on is how much they hate fat people. That feels exciting. I mean, I am happy to see some common ground at least on that. It's nice
come
to know there's a place
together.
We can
right now.
Over literally me. I am actually so excited for everybody. That's a nice thing that we have going.
Yeah, I don't hate fat people.
Thank you. Come on, Austin.
Come on, Austin.
What are you talking
Austin.
About?
What's
Austin.
Going on?
I don't hate fat people at all.
Austin. Name one. And don't say me. Don't say the one fat person sitting across from you. Are you nuts? Name one other fat person that you respect and love.
You could have said Stavros.
Stavros Halkias. Yeah.
He barely counts.
What?
He's posting weight loss content every fucking day.
I know.
We lost him to the dark side. Stavi, come back. Get fat now.
Yeah, he's... What if he becomes not funny? That's a real...
John Candy.
He already has.
John Candy.
He's John dead.
Well, I know.
Candy.
Been dead for many, many
I know,
years.
But it's okay. I mean...
He died 20 years.
More than 20, right? Isn't it way more than 20?
John Candy.
Elvis Presley? What's next?
No. I mean, Elvis, at a certain point, did...
He died 40!
Can we talk about this for a second?
Hold on, do you want me to keep naming fat
this
people?
Is his, no. This
it's
is his...
Okay, it's okay.
No, but it's
this
also
is his gayest trait. This is his gayest trait, for sure.
It's not.
This is one of his gayest traits, I think, is that he is deeply fat-phobic.
I
you
am
don't
not,
like fat people.
I just eat...
It's okay. It wouldn't hurt my feelings.
No, I
you have a fear of
fat people.
People.
No, I love fat people. In fact, the fatter, the better for me.
That's not true.
What do you mean?
That's not true. I can feel it in the way you're saying it.
No, but like, I don't hate fat people at all.
Cook them.
You have a problem with fat people?
No, I don't. What would you describe? How would you describe a problem with fat people? Like, how would that manifest?
Anybody who hasn't had sex with me specifically has a problem with fat people.
True.
If you have had sex with me specifically,
you know what, Caleb? I will go have sex with somebody that is egregiously overweight.
You mean that?
Egregiously?
That was crazy. The word egregiously was crazy. Yeah. Egregiously was crazy. That's an indictment of you and your beliefs. That's crazy. Oh, it's so egregious. Awesome. Are you nuts?
Okay, what's the politically? What am I supposed to say?
Just fat.
Okay, fat.
Yeah. Okay. I want to see you and your boyfriend steal from a fat person next.
Okay.
All
right. I will dominate financially and sexually.
A fat person.
A fat person.
All right.
And I will.
I look forward to hearing back.
I will make
God,
sure of it.
Progress feels good.
So I need to. So being fat phobic is not sleeping with somebody that's.
No, not at all. That's okay. A joke. Okay. I think you. I am only saying that you have a problem with fat people based on the fact that two of your dearest friends were very excited to say that about you. So it seems like there must be something going on.
No, I get my mouth shut.
You play the middle.
Hassan likes to paint me as something.
No, you are.
And I'm helpless and I can't defend myself.
It's just that when you defend yourself, you're basically offending everyone. It's awesome.
I tell you what. I'll tell you what.
Egregiously overweight.
I'm not fat phobic. I don't believe in fat shaming. I don't. No, I don't. Unless they're fascists. And then I believe in it wholeheartedly. I don't have a problem fat shaming Donald Trump,
right.
MAGA people.
Right.
I have no fucking problem going and just going in the gutter and just going low. You know the go low, go high bullshit? I don't give a fuck. I'm going lower. And I'm being fat phobic.
I actually have to tell you, you might expect a different response from me, but I do not care. I don't care. When people are like, when you call Donald Trump fat, the fat people in your life hear that. I'm like, yeah, I hear it, and I'm fucking laughing. Like, I'm having a great time with it.
Well, that's what I believe. Like, I always say, fat shame fascists is my thing. But I don't, but like,
I would probably back off that as a central organizing premise a little bit, but I think a lot of
this is one woke thing.
I think a lot of the fat phobia comes from the same place that a lot of vices come from, where they think that, like, well, for a lot of people, eating and weight is a control issue. Right, it's something that you can control. It's something that you can have agency over. And so they view people that are fat as someone who is like someone who's developed a bad habit or is out of control or is lazy. When people who are comfortable with being fat, usually that has nothing to do with their fatness or whatever. But I think that is why there is like such a look down on girth.
What? Girth is crazy. I think everyone needs to tighten up their terms pretty immediately. No, I think also that people are obsessed generally with even like this kid who's doing like, I don't know, meth for cheekbone enhancement or whatever the fuck. Everyone is obsessed with this idea that their proximity to the most ideal beauty standard will save them from shame, embarrassment, poverty, whatever. Everyone thinks that their proximity to the ideal beauty standard, which by the way is like teenagers, The beauty standard in this country is like prepubescent, like teens, which is fucked up and pedophilic and why we're seeing all the things we're seeing with like the Epstein stuff. But people think that they will be protected from embarrassment or loneliness or whatever if they're just as close as possible to the beauty standard, or that they will be happy, which might be true for them. I don't know. But I think that it's an obsession ultimately with power and status.
Yeah.
And when you can remove yourself from that, it doesn't mean that everyone gets fat. People are always going to look different. I don't care if someone's fat or likes fat people or not, genuinely. But I do think that one of the like broader cultural issues we have is what is going on with bodies. And so much of the right is like organizing right now around like fatness. I mean, the Mike Tyson thing is an example, and the fucking, you know, you've got RFK doing like fucking, I don't know, hikes in jeans or whatever psycho shit he's doing.
That's so insane. Like, he always lifts in the gym in jeans.
Right. Weird.
I hate that.
But also, so many of those guys on the right that are like, they're like chiseled 67-year-old dudes or whatever.
They're all on TRT.
And they also spent most of their life doing like very hard drugs. I've never touched a hard drug in my life. Like, there's this thing around health and what it means that is completely false. Yeah. It is completely false.
RFK being the beacon of health is the funniest thing, because he is just like a deeply
kill.
He is a deeply unhealthy man. I have this bit where I talk about like when he dies one day, it's going to take medical professionals at least a month to figure out exactly what did it. Because there's so many different factors at play that will lead to his demise, right? And he doesn't even like on the aesthetic front, like he doesn't even look healthy. Like,
yeah, I'm not letting someone with that level of shine on their skin talk to me about health. I'll tell you that.
It's all peptides. Like, he does so many different peptides that his skin is so leathery, and he just sounds because of doing heroin hormones and getting like hep C or something from like sharing needles, if I'm not mistaken. He like his voice is that way for that reason. So like, even on like the most like blunt aesthetic side of things, like he just doesn't look. He looks like a human embodiment of pestilence. Like, we gotta start eating beef tallow fries. It's like, that's not healthy. None of that looks healthy.
Hassan, get him.
No, but it's just like, it frustrates me because people will be like, yeah, that's the health guy. I'm like, that's the fucking health guy? I mean, Donald Trump seems more healthy than fucking RFK Jr.
You should stick it to him by getting in the tub.
Yeah. Get in the tub. You know what would really fix this? Get in the goddamn tub.
Yeah, get in the tub with me.
But yeah, it is deeply disastrous. But also what you were bringing up about like attractiveness and I think in American culture it might be like a Calvinist principle, but like wealth is associated with morality, where like the more money you have, the more prosperous you are, the more godly you are. That's like, you know, that's why we have the prosperity gospel. And I think like the way you look, your aesthetics is also featured on that same moral playing field, where it's like, fatness is associated with like immorality.
Totally. Yeah.
And you're like immoral. You're weak. You didn't, you know, work hard enough to like overcome this. Clavicular has unironically made statements like that.
I'm sure on some level you've trafficked in it. We all have. But the point, honestly, though, I honestly rarely ever talk about fat phobia and systemic fat phobia because I put it on the same plane as like whether or not we're going to punish Donald Trump's Gestapo when we get in power. Mm. I put it on the same plane of like, it really is immaterial to what I care about. If you hate fat people, but you want to lower the rent, we are teammates. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
I really don't care. I'm like not that interested in it as a talking point, but I do sometimes. That's not true. I'm personally interested in it. I am less interested in it as like a discourse. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like something that I, in my personal life, am of course like, oh, it's so interesting that someone who does meth every weekend is comfortable talking to me as a fat person about health. But on a grander scale of like policy and cultural conversation, I'm like, people who make their entire thing talking about body neutrality or positivity or fat phobia, I'm like, I just kind of feel like it's tertiary to the, you know what I'm saying?
Well, they do it deliberately. They do it because I think it's a byproduct of liberal hegemony.
Yeah.
And I don't even think people are like aware that they're playing into it. But the reason why you have to have conversations like that is because it's a non-starter to have conversations around the material realities and like the genuine class struggle that must take place. You're not learning that. You're not taught that. And as a matter of fact, the only thing you're taught about that side of the political spectrum is that it's scary and bad and wrong, and the USSR and Mao's China and the Great Leap Forward, like its association is always like so scary. And that's one of the things that I try to destigmatize to the best of my ability by just being like, yeah, I'm a fucking socialist. I don't give a shit if you call me a communist. Yeah, it's great. I love communism. Who gives a fuck? I love the USSR. Like, I will just straight up say it. And I think slowly but surely we've been able to chip away at that a little bit. Because I think it's good. There is an incredibly dense amount of literature on this, like, totally alternative vision for what a better future looks like, what a better society looks like, what better organizing principles look like out there. And when people don't have that access, when people are purposely stigmatized ahead of time towards that vision, they just look for areas of improvement elsewhere in the immaterial or what you would consider tertiary.
Right.
That's it. And that's the reason why Kamala Harris will come out and get blistered on, you know, wanting to offer bottom surgeries to transgender Guatemalan immigrants in the prison system. This is not a conversation at all. This is not like, who gives a shit if they get bottom surgery? You know what I mean? It's not that big of a fucking deal. And it's not, it's something that has happened under the Trump administration as well, ironically enough. And most people would not care about that shit if there was at least one side of the political spectrum that is constantly going, we need healthcare, we need free education, we need to fix the roads, we need to fix the potholes, we need to make sure that, you know, we need to make sure that there is affordable housing or free housing, social housing, right? If one side was advocating for that and organizing around that, and the other side was like, whoa, hold on, what about the 1% of the population? What about trans people or even fat people, right? Like, if they were trying to constantly bring that conversation back to that, most people would go, yeah, you're silly. I don't give a fuck about that. You know? Yeah, sure. Trans people are weird, but I want housing.
Like, which is also why I think a great pitch for this moment could be, I don't know if leftism will work. We have no way of knowing because we have never given it a shot even once. Mm. We have never in this country given leftism a shot on any meaningful level one time. So a pitch I'm like experimenting with is like, let's just fucking give it a shot. Yeah. If things are so bad.
Can't get any worse.
Hey, if things are so bad, and I think I genuinely agree that they are, why have we never just given it, let's give it a fucking shot. It's like, these guys aren't doing a good job. We can see that.
Also, some of the most beloved things that we, that Americans love are socialist policies. Medicare, Medicaid, public schools, Social Security.
Yeah, like
these are things that are socialist policies that exist in our democracy already. Why the fuck not expand it to, and also we all hate healthcare.
Even beyond that.
In this country.
Things that we take for granted, like no child labor, even though that's being rolled back right now, or the weekend. Like, those things came from labor militancy. It came from the labor unions. It came from socialists and communists, like, agitating and advocating to get those things at a time when the working class in this country were far more organized. The material conditions were far worse as well. But that agitation led to the New Deal. That agitation led to all of these things that we take for granted now that we don't even consider as being like anything but the norm. That happened because people fucking fought for it. People died for it. People rioted for it. Even like nowadays when people consider like what Palestine Action is doing in the UK, when they go into like the Israeli weapons contractor, defense contractors, businesses, Elbit Systems, and they like, you know, spray paint things, right? And they're like considered terrorists. And people go, oh, that's a bridge too far for me. Why are you doing that? That's too disruptive. It's like, and then they'll compare it to the suffragettes, right? They'll be like, oh, well, the suffragettes didn't do this. And then they like won. It's like, you don't know what the fuck they did. They were like bombing telegraph lines back in the fucking day. Like, no, people were far more radical and far more militant and far more disciplined in their organizing. And that is what it took to get this across the fucking finish line. These at the time, massive gains that we now take for granted. People had to fight for it with blood, sweat, and fucking tears.
The bar for terrorism has gotten so low. Mm. Yes. Like, terrorism now being like spray painting something is like, we have lost our touch. Yeah. If that's the bar for terrorism, is like making a little too much noise outside the ICE hotel. Like, we are in a really tough place on terrorism.
Yeah.
It used to be some serious shit.
Oh, yeah.
You used to like fear going on the train. And now it's like someone might yell at you.
You used to have to put a bomb in your shoes.
Yeah. If you wanted to be a terrorist, you used to have to fucking work for it.
Yeah.
Now you just have to disagree with Donald Trump on Twitter.
Yeah.
And you're like marked.
Create a little noise pollution.
Yeah. I'm going to be going to Cuba with a flotilla next month. We've been starving Cuba since its revolution, obviously. But now that starvation has taken on a new light where it's just like we're now denying them getting oil from any country that would ever send them oil. And it's devastating. I mean, hospitals need it, ambulances need it, schools need it for their electricity grid, right? Like, they need oil and gas. And we're
By
trying
way,
to...
you got room for one more on that flotilla?
I mean, yeah, you can come with me if you want. But
dude, I love Cuba.
How long will the flotilla take?
Don't worry about
it. Will it have Wi-Fi?
No, I'm genuinely curious.
We will have Wi-Fi on the flotilla.
Are you guys allowed to have fun on there? Or does it have to be pretty serious
No,
vibes?
No, we can have fun on there. I'm going to be streaming the process as well, obviously.
Are you on, I picture you, like, on a raft. Is that what a...
I'm thinking of Tom Hanks.
Oh,
yeah. When I hear flotilla, I mean, I've obviously seen, but when I hear flotilla, I'm like,
no, it's
Wilson.
Like a normal boat. We're gonna have internet.
I genuinely thought you were on like a raft.
I really want to go because I spent some time living in Cuba filming, and I fucking love the Cuban people, and so I would love to go back. And spend
I just
some
need
time.
To know because I may need to join the flotilla because we may have to film an episode of the Furion podcast
in Havana.
We might have to, and I might have to go.
We might have to.
That's beautiful.
No,
that's really beautiful.
I would
Thank
join
you for
the
your
flotilla.
Sacrifice. I'm not going on the flotilla. Everyone has different roles.
Yeah.
I can't go on the flotilla.
He has FOMO, and he's doing this thing where he's like, if I have to fall on my sword and get on the flotilla.
Well, you know,
you just don't want to miss out.
He doesn't want to be in an 1,800 square foot apartment. He doesn't want to go on the fucking flotilla.
Yeah. But the thing I was going to, the but reason I would why do I was it. Mentioning
oh, Hassan's
it.
Like, I actually want to talk about that.
The reason why I was mentioning that is because as soon as I'm working with some organizers, like putting it together, they're the same people that put up the Samud flotilla in Palestine. And immediately people were like adding the Treasury Department to be like, this is terrorism. They're doing terrorism. It's like even
we're renting aid
to a country that we are like deliberately starving is like met with this insane response where they're like sending videos of like the Trump administration like blowing up boats in the Caribbean to be like, yeah, this is what's going to happen to you. They're going to fucking blow up your boats. Oh. It's like, how have you gotten to this point?
Yeah.
Like how, like Cubans have done nothing to you. You've just been told that they're bad and scary and maybe even not that, right? Like you're just angry. You're like constantly looking for blood. You're like, well, people need to die somewhere. Otherwise I can't get my nut off, I guess. Like, and you're fantasizing about power projection of the largest military superpower on the fucking planet. And I guess that if they're murdering people, murdering innocents somewhere, then you feel powerful. Like, that's what the modus operandi is here.
I think it's so cool that you guys are doing that. And if there's anything I can post on my Instagram story to support you guys, anything I can do from the comfort of my home to support the flotilla, I would just love
to. You're not a flotilla guy.
No, I'm not going to be on the flotilla, but if there's anything I could do, like if I could raise awareness in some way or send some sort of gift basket to the flotilla, I would love to do my part as well.
I want
to
ask you, I want to get into this because, you know, we talked about, are you a rough it guy? Can you rough it?
Am I being earnest about not winning? Would I go on the flotilla if I genuinely was invited on the flotilla? No. But I think I'm obviously being a little, silly, but roughing it in general?
Like in general.
I don't want to rough it. I was poor my whole life until like 3 years ago. I worked very hard. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do hard things.
Yes.
Yeah. I will.
Yes.
I go and volunteer with my body sometimes, but there's a lot of weight resting on the donations. I'll tell you.
I appreciate
a lot of my activism weight is resting on the Act Blue receipts. but I'm glad that Hassan's going on the flotilla.
No,
I think that's beautiful.
I appreciate
I'm glad you guys have Wi-Fi on there
as well. We appreciate your
activism.
Beautiful. Yeah, no, I'm like it's this weird situation because like
it's gonna be
I had set up a cubature beforehand last year before all this stuff was happening before like rolling blackouts. Well, they always had rolling blackouts, but not to this degree, where they didn't have an energy crisis, and at the time like I found out. Something that I had no idea about that like AT&T and like American ISPs like still provide telecommunications on the island in Cuba, which is unexpected, right? Like you wouldn't expect there to be like, you know, Western or even like American companies working on the island, given this like state sponsor of terrorism status that the American government is like falsely claimed Cuba is. And we were setting it up so that I could like live stream when I was there. Cause like, that's the whole point. Like I want to showcase like the everyday existence in Cuba.
You're taking clavicular to a drag bar in Havana.
Exactly. Havana Max.
I would not do that to the Cuban population. That's crazy.
You think they got drag brunch in Havana?
Cuba is woke as fuck, dude.
I don't know.
Do you think they got a drag bar?
No.
I don't know if they have. I don't know about their drag
culture. As someone
culture.
Who's been there, I don't think they have a drag bar.
You just didn't look hard enough.
But there was a 90%.
I think there's drag everywhere.
I think they have gay stuff.
Gay
they
bars?
Have trans stuff but too. I don't think they would have a formal drag brunch in Havana, no.
No, but they do. But they do have like their Cuba is hella gay.
Brother, I've been there.
I know,
I don't think they have a formal hamburger Mary style drag brunch.
I know that's not gonna happen. He's not gonna get WeHo experience.
Yeah,
but
no.
Yes, Cuba.
I actually think the best drag brunch was in
Cuba.
Miami,
actually, had a constitutional referendum in like 2019, where they like trans people are constitutionally protected. Trans people, gay people, all that.
No,
it's very gay.
I just don't know. As I said, I just don't think you would find a drag brunch.
Do you find yourself at gay bars?
I will ask the Cuban government for you if they will throw a fucking drag brunch.
Yeah.
Can I be honest? You'd be likely to find drag. I just don't know if you'd find drag around like drinking and eating. Because like when you go to a restaurant in Havana, a lot of times it's very pick and choose with what you can order off the menu anyway. And I don't know if they would have like the institution of like going and gorging yourself and drinking to the point of being drunk at a drag.
Why America's
event.
Fucking awesome. Yeah, they don't have that excess.
Do you enjoy that? Do you enjoy that kind of thing? Drag brunch?
No, I'm not going to a drag brunch.
You don't like drag brunch?
No, I don't. It's too loud. There's too many straight women. Honestly, I was going to let you off the hook with it, but since you're bringing it back up.
Yeah, no, bring it back up.
When you told me you're actively taking like hordes of straight people to a drag brunch,
hordes, only a few. There's like one straight person amongst a bunch of gay people at our table.
Oh, okay.
I don't bring a bunch of straight people.
That's really sweet.
It's one straight person at a time.
With me, you did bring a lot of straight people.
Yeah, they're there regardless. Right. It's not your fault.
No, I invited them in because we're an inclusive environment.
I'm not really at the drag brunches. I don't, drag queens, I'm friends with many of them. These are degenerate people that really should not be listened to. And so when they get a microphone, they get power hungry. I mean, I'm friends with some of these people, yeah, and I don't trust them to run anything, let alone a brunch. And then you talk about the music being loud and it all sounds like car crashes, and then there's straight women drunk and yelling. I need to be, I want to be is at a cafe in Pasadena with 6 lesbians and 10 non-binary people. Okay. And we're sitting around chit-chatting. That's what I'd like.
Wait, I was trying to get Austin.
You need to drag me to the cafe.
Austin and I have had this conversation where I was like, Austin, like as a straight guy, it's not my place to tell you this, but as someone who's like lived in West Hollywood for a very long time, like you got to elevate the gay experiences that you're having where like, why don't we go to a lounge every now and then? You know what I mean? Where gay people are present.
And when I say that I want to be around non-binary people, I don't mean they drag queens necessarily, though I have love for them. I really more often am talking about they them mechanics. Okay. You know what I mean? I need some non-binary people with a work ethic.
That's probably why you love Portland.
I love Portland.
There's a lot of they them mechanics in Portland.
I met a lesbian bodybuilder last time I was in Portland. Yeah. We had a beautiful night together.
Oh my God, that's why I love Portland so much. But I do need to broaden my horizons a little bit. I'm just so I grew up straight, as I told you.
Yeah, you mentioned
and
that.
Going out to straight environments and that super tough dude, like everybody's trying to fuck the girls and this macho behavior. I was sick and tired of it, and so now I'm kind of like
again civil rights struggle. I've become
I've become a gay extremist.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Where I just I'm like obsessed with just going to gay
also,
places.
Also, he's lying.
Constantly.
He never had like the bar culture. No. He went to Applebee's by himself to get a milkshake
amazing,
every
by
night.
The way. Well, I know you thought you
college,
might lose me on that, but I love Applebee's.
I was a loser in college. I had no friends. I actually had friends, but I would sit inside, play video games, and then at nighttime, everybody would go out, and I would go alone to Applebee's and sit at the. And I had my favorite bartender. I'd drink an Oreo milkshake and eat chicken wonton tacos.
Obviously, the chicken wonton tacos are actually very good at Applebee's. Very good. Obviously, hearing that you're sitting alone at the bar having an Oreo milkshake is, of course, like one of the most depressing things I've ever heard. Yeah. Obviously, I'll let you have that. That's one of the most disturbing things I've ever heard. It sounds like a detail you'd write about a serial killer in a TV show. Like, that's how you would explain the depravity of this mind. But I'm so glad that you're in a different place now, and I'm glad you're going
happy.
To brunch.
I'm very happy. I'm going to brunch.
Beautiful.
I'm doing all that.
To circle back, though, Cuba, very gay.
Yes.
But, yeah, you won't find, like, the... You won't find
I'll
like
I'll tell the government to throw one for you.
You guys should take a couple drag queens on the flotilla. Yeah. Let's start getting a little stuntier about this. It's nice that you're on there, but let's get some drag queens.
I don't disagree with you.
We'll do a drag brunch on
bunch
the flotilla.
There's a bunch of content creators that have like reached out when I said I was going to do it that like want to participate now. And you got to do a little bit of you got to play the game a little bit.
Have Willow Pill do a routine on the flotilla.
Yes.
Come on. Luscious Massacre. Let's get serious.
Well, Luscious Massacre? I would love
Luscious
that.
Massacre teaches how to do drag.
Tara Dickoff, is that a drag queen?
Yeah. Would be fun.
Oh my God, Tara Dickoff, that's awesome. Never heard of that drag queen.
My new favorite drag queen is the one that does the Erica Kirk.
Oh, yeah. No, they're hosting an event. I wanted to bring you guys to it. I wanted to drag you guys to it. They're hosting an event. Erica Kirk. Have you seen the Erica Kirk drag queen?
No.
Wait, well, pull this up. You got to show gotta this. Because it's a one-to-one while I go pee. Also, how many minutes are we at?
We've only got a few minutes left. Hour and 3:00. We're at time.
Okay, so this is the last thing.
We didn't even talk about Lindsey Vonn crashing at the Olympics or the quad god not sticking his...
Quad god?
Yeah, there was a figure skater that can do a quadruple axel, and so they call him the quad god, and he fell twice.
Yeah, that's it.
Do you think he'll lose his nickname?
I think he might. He might just be the quad man now.
Yeah, that's really true.
No longer. Turn up the volume here. This is Erica Quirk.
Wow. I can hear Hassan loudly pissing.
I'm glad he decided to take a bathroom break when I got 1 minute left in the record, by the way. Oh, she is eating.
Oh,
She's not nailing the dressing, I'll say that. But the makeup is undeniable.
Yeah.
Yeah, she rocks. The wardrobe needs some work, but the hair and makeup is unimpeachable.
So she, Erica Quirk, and then like some people that are doing drag is Melania Trump. All of the Trump administration ladies are doing a drag show in LA.
Oh.
Together.
We need a drag king to start doing Stephen Miller.
I would love that.
That'd be awesome. That's someone we need to take down. I'm gonna do Steve Bannon drag. I'm gonna put like open sores on my face and talk about how we're doing a third term. Yeah. I'm gonna do Steve Bannon drag. It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Well, Caleb, you have been absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
You guys have loved having you. And I mean, you can shout out to our patrons. Anything else that you'd like to say?
This whole second hour was just for the patrons.
Yeah. This is all the patrons.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I think you guys continue to hold these guys accountable on the fat stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing Hassan on the boat. I send all my love to you on the Patreon. You are funding the house.
That's right.
Some pretty open scuffs on the walls, and the lights aren't entirely working. Yeah. So. You know, maybe just throw in a couple extra dollars this month if you can. Right. And shout out to Publicular and everyone else.
Thank you, everybody.
And we'll see you next week.
We'll be back next week.
Peace.
All right. That was awesome.
Let's snap a thumbo pig real quick.
Question. Did we talk about heated rivalry in the first episode or the second?
First one.
In the second.
It was actually in an episode before
the
Patreon started. Okay, sweet. Just if it's behind a paywall is fine, but maybe don't put me talking about it out in. That's the only thing because of my HBO relationship.
Well, you know what? You know what? We can just cut it.
Cool.
We'll just cut it. Yeah, we'll just cut it because sometimes people clip shit from the Patreon. So let's
That's the only thing. I just can't piss off every